Amen. Have you ever thought to yourself when you got saved everything was going to be fine and dandy? There wasn't going to be any trouble. There wasn't going to be any heartache. There wasn't going to be any fear. You know, once I got saved, you know, everything was going to be good. You know what I mean? All my bills are going to be paid. I was going to have enough money to do whatever I wanted. You know, there was not going to be any problems from there on. After all, God said that He was going to take care of it, right? So once I got saved, everything should have been okay. Isn't that the way it is? You know, as I was thinking, this last week has been kind of a trying week a little bit, and next week's going to be even more trying. By the way, if you don't mind, I'd like to have you pray for me tomorrow. I've got to go see a neurosurgeon tomorrow, and they're going to figure out if they're going to have to do surgery on my neck or not. I'm losing all the control of my right arm. My muscles are going and stuff, so that means I've got a nerve somewhere. It's either being pinched in the space where the nerve comes out, or it's on the inside, and that's what I'm worried about, is in the inside of my spinal column, where there's a bone spur growing in there. I've had that before where they've had to go in and take it out. But just pray for me, Ma. I appreciate that. But, you know, sometimes you get to thinking, you think, you know, everything should be good. Everything should be fine. After all, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. You know, why is it then that it can come into our life? Have you ever had it come into your life? All of a sudden, it happens. You understand what I mean? I mean, have you ever had that? All of a sudden, oh man, it happened. You know, it came in. And you know, so many times I believe that we as Christians have a false sense of security that once we get saved, everything is going to be good. You know, in the scripture that we just read, we see a man by the name of Job. In chapter 1, in verse 1, it tells that he is a perfect... Just turn over there if you're in Job. Turn to chapter 1, verse 1. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect, upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. You know, here we see a man that loved God. He was a good man. He believed in God. He put his full trust in God. He did everything that God wanted him to do. But Job was a man that worshipped God above everything. He believed that God could take care of everything. He had a large family. In verse 3 of chapter 1 it says, this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Yeah, listen, he was no slothful person. He had everything going for him. God had blessed him in ways that he hadn't blessed anybody else at that time. Do you know that Job is one of the books of the Bible that isn't in the right place? Did you know that? Job should have been right after Noah and the story of Noah. Job was one generation after Noah. That's how far back Job was when Job was written. In fact, they figure that Job was probably the first book to ever be written to go into the Bible. That's how far back Job was. Now, think about this for a minute. Job is only two generations out of Noah. The earth had been destroyed by water. And he's two generations. He knows what the flood was all about. He knows that the whole world was destroyed. He knows all of this. And yet he feared God. And he would not turn to evil in anything. And in chapter 1, verses 6 to 11, we see that God allowed Satan to put his hand on Job. In verses 15 to chapter 2, 9, we see what Job loses. In chapter 1 in verse 15, it says, all of his oxen were taken from him. 16 says, all of his sheep and servants were destroyed. 17 says, all of his camels were taken and his servants were killed. Verse 19 says all of his children were killed. In chapter 2, verse 7, Satan put boils all over his body from his head to his feet. In chapter 2 and verse 9, his wife wants him to curse God and die. Now, if you don't think a person should be in depression, that would put a person into depression. Amen? After all, do you think maybe he should have been just a little bit angry at God? I probably would have been. Think about this for a minute. Everything, every monetary thing that Job had was now gone. Job's family was gone. His seven sons and daughters had all been killed. All of his servants were taken. All of his monetary wealth was gone. His wife turns on him. Curse God and die. Man, I'll tell you what, how'd you like to be married to a woman like that? Right? Listen, what we need to realize is that even though he loved God, even though he served God, even though he did everything that he possibly could for God in his lifetime, bad things happen. Bad things happened in his life. Why? Why did it happen? After all, did he do some sin? You know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, in Job chapter 35, verses 25 and 26, believe it or not, these are my two text verses. If you want to turn there, if you don't have them underlined, I want you to underline them. These are two verses that you need to have underlined in your Bible. Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3. Verses 25 and 26. I have them not only underlined, I have them highlighted. I have things written along the side margins about them and everything else. But these are two verses in your Bible that you need to have underlined. They say, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet. Yet, what happened? Trouble came." Trouble came. It came. Listen, it happened to Job. You know, Job did not want this to come into his life. He did not deserve it to come into his life after all. He was one that feared God. He was one that walked in God's steps. He was the one that prayed all the time. He was the one that sacrificed all the time. He was a man of God who walked after God. Job did not do anything to warrant what happened to him. Not one thing that came upon Job did he deserve to have. But it happened. But it happened anyway. You know, Job did everything right in the eyes of God. He not only sacrificed for himself, but the Bible says he sacrificed for his children just in case they might have sinned. Think about that. He not only looked out for his own spiritual welfare, but he also looked out for his children. And his children were adult at this time period. They had families. And yet he still sacrificed for them. He looked for their spiritual welfare. You know, there's many times in our lives when it will come into our lives. We don't understand why God allows it to happen. You know, there are those who are sitting here today who have lost loved ones. It happened. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You know, we're always in hopes that it will happen to us before it happens to somebody else. You know, we would a lot sooner we go to heaven before our kids do, right? You know, we'd a lot sooner see something happen to us than to our children. But it's going to happen. It's going to come into our life. It's going to take control of the situation. Many times we don't know why we need to experience the sorrow, but it happens. In Romans 8:28, it says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose." You know, even though we feel it hurts so bad, we need to realize that it's all for the honor and glory of God. Even though we don't know why it happened. Even though we don't understand fully why we have to go through what we're going through. I got an email this morning from my brother, Gary, and Abby. Many of you weren't in school back then, but they had Ivy, their little, we prayed for Ivy. Ivy had four holes in her heart, and all of her major vessels were reversed in her heart. And at the age of 2 weeks old, they had to go in and do major open heart surgery on her, reverse the vessels and close up the holes and everything. And we prayed for her, and that little girl's doing so good, you would never know anything ever happened to her. Well, Ivy now is 2, and she now has a brother. Abby had a baby on Friday, just a small little baby, 10 pounds. And, you look at this little baby, and you're looking at him, man alive, that kid's got to be 6 months old. He's huge! And so last night, Abby had posted it. She says, he was 10 pounds, but he poops, so maybe he weighs a little bit less now. But here we see that when they had their first baby, it happened to them. They went through some of the darkest hours of their whole entire life. They didn't know if that little baby was going to live. They had no idea if God was going to call that little baby home or not. It was some of the darkest hours. In fact, Abby's husband, he went and he wrote every day in a journal, and he posted online exactly what they were going through. And he's going to take and publish it into a book. But it was some of the darkest times of their entire marriage. But now is one of the happiest times. But there are those here today who have some kind of defeat. There should have been a victory. You know, we put our hope and trust in God, and the outcome was different than what we thought it should be. You know, it's happened to all of us. You know, a child may have disappointed us, come home and gave us some bad news. Our spouse may have let us down, overdrew the checkbook or something else. Our boss may have hurt you by telling you things about that. He may not have given you the attaboy that you felt you had coming. You know, you worked hard and you got absolutely no recognition for it. You may have been passed over for a promotion. You know, you may have thought that you should have won the lottery, you know, and you didn't. You know, I feel sorry for everybody who did not win the lottery this weekend. Or did they draw it tonight?
No, they did last night.
Was it last night?
Nobody won it.
Nobody won it? No. Nobody won it? You mean all of you wasted all that money last week and didn't win it? I can't even believe that. Now it's going to be over $600 million, something like that? Wow. Let's see, $600 million. What could we do that for the church? There's a lot here today who are going through some kind of financial difficulty. You know, there's more month left than the paycheck. How many of you ever experienced that? There's always more month left than the paycheck. I mean, I do. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, but the bills still keep coming in, and there's no money to pay the bills. You know, it seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. You know, where do we turn, and where do we go? You know, if you look out back here, right here alongside the building, you'll see a dead tree. Do you know what that tree is? That's a money tree. I just want to let you know that the church's money tree died. There is no money tree out here anymore. Contrary to people's opinion.
We kept watering it.
I know, but you're watering with the wrong stuff. Yeah, I know. That's the problem. But, you know, where do we turn? Where do we go? You know, I make, you may say to yourself, I make good money. I save. I try to support my family, you know, the best I can. But it happened. You know, the car is out of gas. The cupboards are empty. The car needs new tires. The kids need shoes. The electric is overdue. The house needs a new roof. The air conditioner went out. The water bill needs to be paid. You know, there's overdraft, overdraft, doctor bill, dentist bills, hospital bills. There's more needs than money. How many of you have experienced that? I think everybody does, don't we? We all do that. You know, I've done everything that God has asked me to do. I tithe, I work for Him, and yet it happened. And yet it happened. You know, there are those here today that it may have happened in different ways. However, it still happened. You know, the Bible says persecutions will come. In 2 Timothy 3:11, it says, persecution, affliction, which come unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Listen, the Apostle Paul was not immune to it happening. You know, I think of the Apostle Paul's life, and, you know, Philippi was one of the best towns that he had ever been in. The church of Philippi took care of his needs. But when they first went to Philippi, what happened? He started preaching, they arrested him, beat him, threw him and Silas in prison, in the dungeon. Now, I don't know about you, but if my back was open from being whipped, I would have a hard time singing praises to God. But yet him and Silas were sitting in prison. And they lifted up their voices, the Bible says, at midnight, and started singing praises to God. All of a sudden, there was an earthquake. The doors of the prison flew open. The jailer came in with a light and a sword, and he was ready to thrust himself through with the sword. He knew that suicide was going to be an easier way out than what they were going to do to him when they found all the prisoners gone and they were under his trust. So he thought it'd be easier to commit suicide than to take and face what was going to happen to him. All of a sudden, he heard a voice saying, "Do no harm to yourself, we're all here." That jailer brought a light in and looked, and every prisoner was still there. What did he do? He fell at on his knees and looked at Paul and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" Listen, it happened to the jailer. I mean, all of a sudden, everybody could have fled out of the jail, and there he would have been, with an empty jail. They would have tortured him to death because he let the prisoners go. But yet, he knew he had to put his hope and trust in God. You know, it happened to the jailer. It happened to Paul and Silas. You know, all through Paul's life, he went to one town, and they took him outside the city and they stoned him to death. They left him for dead. They thought, there's no way anybody could make it through that. He got up and walked away. He was shipwrecked. He was on an island. All of a sudden, this poisonous snake came out and bit him. And all the people that are on the island are sitting there waiting for him to swell up and pop, you know? Because this snake was one of the most poisonous snakes known to man. And yet he just cast it off and as if nothing happened. You know, think of Paul and all of it that happened to him. And you think to yourself, well, you know what? Some of the things I go through in life really aren't that bad. You know, when God allows it to happen to me, maybe it's not as bad as what I thought it was. You know, God has always given us enough grace to make it through everything He brings into our life, and we need to realize that He will supply the need that we have. You know, why do we feel that we should be any different than anyone else who lived before us? You know, Job lived not long after the flood of Noah's time, yet it happened to him. It happened to Lot. He lost his wife. He lost his wealth. He lost his children. He lost everything that he had when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It happened to Moses. You know, think of Moses. 120 years old. God says, you can't go into the promised land because I told you to talk to the rock, not strike it. You disobeyed me. How many times did Moses disobey God? Once. Once. One time. One time he disobeyed God, and God wouldn't let him go into the promised land. It happened to Moses. It happened to Moses. You know, if it happens to them, why is it that we feel it shouldn't happen to us? Why do we feel we're so immune to not anything happening? You know, but what should we do when it happens? What should we do when bad things come into our lives? I think we should look at what Job did. Look at what Job did in chapter 1, verse 22. It says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In Job 2:12-10 it says, but he said unto her, speaking to his wife, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job had just lost everything. Everything. All of his worldly possessions were gone. All of his family was gone. All of his servants was gone. All of his houses were gone. All of his flocks, everything that he had was gone. His four-wheeler was gone. You know, Job had just lost all of his worldly possessions. He didn't have anything left to live for. He had boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. I was reading a commentary when I was doing this, and this commentary said this: if you can think of the worst case of cancer there ever was, of skin cancer, whatever, where the flesh is open all the way to the muscle, that's how bad the boils were that Job had. The Bible says that they hurt so bad that in order to get relief, he would break a pot, a clay pot, and he would take that and he would scrape the boils with that and cut himself with it. It was that bad. The Bible says that the cloth that he had on, or the clothes that he had on, were so soaked with the pus that came out of that stuff that it was firm. You know, as I was reading that part of Scripture, I thought, you know what, he could have taken his coat off and set it up and it would have stood right there. That's how bad it was. Can you imagine the smell of that flesh being eaten up. I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to be within a mile of him because he would have smelled that bad. But yet, God allowed it to come to Job. God allowed Job to go through this. And yet, Job never accused God of anything. Wow. Even after his wife says, "Curse God and die. What's the matter with you?" The Bible says that his face was so disfigured by these boils, people could not recognize him. His three friends came and they didn't even know who he was. You know, Job had went through one of the worst things that could have ever happened in a person's life. You know, Job really did not have anything left to live for. You know, yet he never one time ever blamed God for it. You know, it happened. In Job 1:21 it says, he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, I don't know about you, but if I was going through something like Job was going through, I don't think I could go, "Well, praise the Lord for this happening to me." You know what I mean? I don't think I could. I don't think I could do that. After all, he's going through some really bad things. And yet he goes, "Praise the Lord for it." Not one time, all the way through the book of Job, do you ever see Job blaming God for it happening. Job realized that that it was there, God allowed it to come, and he was going to accept what was going to happen from there forward. Job could have thrown in the towel, and he could have said, "Oh, poor me!" Right? And he could have said, "You know what, lady? I'm going to do just what you said. I'm going to curse God and die." But he didn't. He didn't. He didn't do it. He went through what God had for his life. He went through what God had put in front of him. However, he did not do. You know, he didn't blame God. He listened to what God had told him in chapters 38 and 41. He seeked the Lord for his strength. Job 42, 1-3 says this, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that thou canst do anything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not.'" Job realized that he was nothing without God and could do nothing to help his own situation himself. You know, I love chapters 38 to 41 of Job. And believe it or not, I read them often. Because when I get high-minded and I think to myself, "Man, things are going really well," I read chapters 38 to 41. And you know, that will bring humility into any man's life or woman. Sometime read chapter 38 to 41 of Job. God is speaking to Job. And he says to him, "Where were you when I stretched out the canopy for the worlds? Where were you when I hung the sun in the sky? Where were you when I put all the planets and the earth in motion? Where were you when I created all of the animals? Where were you when I caused it to rain? Where were you when I caused the flood upon the earth? Where were you when I did this or that?" Then he says to Job, "Can you cause an eagle to fly? Can you cause a deer to have offspring? Can you cause a lion to roar? Wow. You know, if that doesn't bring humility in your life, nothing will. That shows how great God is and how minute we are. That shows that we serve an almighty, all-powerful God who can do anything. And yet, we are, as David said, clay. Just think of a speck of clay. That's what we are to God. But yet God wants us to have communion with Him. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants us to be like Him. You know, Job, after talking to God, I'll tell you what, it brought humility in his life. I mean, all the time Job was going through all the things that was going wrong, I mean, he realized there was nothing that he could possibly do without the power of God. In chapter 42, verses 5 and 6, it says, I heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes seeth thee. Wherefore I arbor myself. The word arbor there means humble. And repent in dust and ashes. Not only did Job hear the Lord, but he found the Lord. You know, if God would not have allowed it to come into Job's life, Job still would have loved God. Job still would have served God. Job still would have prayed and sacrificed as he always did. But you know what? When he got all the way through it, he had a greater desire to be with God all the time. You know, sometimes God brings things into our lives to bring us closer to Him. He brings things into our lives that will draw us that much closer to Him, cause us to get on our knees and pray, cause us to get into our Bibles and seek His face. You know, there's many times when even I as a pastor, I think, oh man, I'm just too busy to read my Bible today. And if anybody's busy, I am. You know, I only work 2 hours a week, hour on Sunday morning, hour on Sunday night, right? And but you know, the thing of it is, it's hard sometimes even for me to find the time to spend alone with God. But you know what? We need to. We need to spend that sweet time with God every day. You know, when it comes into our lives, we shouldn't curse God because it's happened. But we should praise Him for what has happened because we're going to find the Lord differently. You're going to find the Lord differently. You know, there's a movie that's out, and many of you have seen it. It's called Facing the Giants. And I watched it again, and I watch it all the time. You know, about once a month I'll take and pull out Facing the Giants and Courageous and Flywheel and all of them, and I'll watch them. And I was watching Facing the Giants the other night, and there's a one phrase in there that the boys coined as their theme for that year, for that football. We will praise the Lord if we win. And we'll praise the Lord if we lose. Whether we win or whether we lose, we will praise the Lord. You know, have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought that, you know, when things go bad, it's hard to praise the Lord, isn't it? But man, when you're on that mountaintop and you're looking down, you're looking all around, you go, oh, praise God, this is so great, everything's going my way, everything's going just perfect. You know what I mean? Then all of a sudden it happens. And you go from here down to here real quick. And you go, oh me, oh my. It's hard to praise the Lord then, isn't it? It's hard to praise the Lord when things aren't the way they should be. Job did. Even though Job had lost everything he had, even though Job had lost all of his family, all of his worldly possessions, it still happened to him. When things in our lives are going good, it's easy to praise God, but when it happens, it's a lot harder to bring ourselves to praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." You know, listen, when it happens in our lives, we need to remember to give praise. When it hurts and we don't feel that we can control it, we need to turn it over to God and let Him take care of it. Because He'll do it a lot better than we will. You know, I love the story of Job. And you take and you look all the way through the book of Job, and you'll see that he did have some very, very bad things happen. And because he was faithful, in Job chapter 42, verse 12, it says this, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses." Job had twice as much before he died than he did when it happened to him. Not only that, but he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters when they were killed. God gave him 7 sons and 3 daughters more. He gave him twice as many children in heaven than what he had here on earth. If we're faithful, and if we can endure through the trials and the tribulations that God brings into our life, I guarantee that on the other side, He's going to bless us abundantly. He's going to give us blessings that we cannot understand. You know, Brother Mike, you mind if I use you for an example? I'm going to use you anyway. I don't care if you don't want it or not. When Brother Mike lost his wife, they had sold everything. They had sold everything. He moved down here to Arizona. Didn't know why he's coming down here, but he came down anyway because he felt God was leading him down here. He went through some really dark times in his life. Real dark times. Living by himself after living with his wife for 40 years. They did everything together. God took something from him. You know what? He never once ever blame God. He never blamed God for taking Lori home. And yet, he got down here, he sold his motorhome. And what did God bless you with? A house full of furniture? A nicer house than what they'd ever had? Wow. Is God faithful? You bet He is. When it happens in our lives, we just got to remember. We got to stay the course. We got to keep going. Don't blame God for it. Give Him the praise for it. And in the end, he's going to bless you and bless you and bless you. Just stay the course. Because it's going to happen. I guarantee it. It will happen in your life. And you have to make it through it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for